Last Sunday, following the second service, Jan Scowron came to me. Jan and Joe have been part of this body for some time now. Joe's in the restaurant business. They live in Cocoa. And come down. Jan has been the director of curriculum for the Brevard County Schools and is well known in the educational circles in Brevard County. And Jan came to me after the service and said, "God has really laid it on my heart that I'm to give you something." She said, "As I've been praying about this, that I'm supposed to give you a tree." And I said, "A tree?" And she said, "Yes." She said, "The Lord said that I was to give you a tree, and that you're to plant it someplace to where you can see it every day. It's going to grow, and it's a symbol of what God has done in your life." And she says, I said, "Well, what kind of tree?" And she says, "Well, I prayed about it, and God told me to give you a camphor tree." She said, "I don't know why, except that I understand that it's a tree that the leaves don't fall off of, and it continues to grow." And I said, "Jan, do you understand that the camphor in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, is the symbol of healing? It's the symbol of health." Well, she didn't know that. So she got excited about that. And I said, "Well, I know just exactly where I'm going to plant it. I'm going to plant it so that every time I sit down in my study and look out the window that I can see it. It's a reminder of that." Well, Jan had called the nursery up in Cocoa and Rockledge to deliver the tree. She was going to have it delivered to my house. And then I would get one of my boys to plant it for me in the yard. But they wouldn't, they told her she'd have to come pick it out. That they wouldn't just get a tree, that they wanted her to come pick it out. So she had sent her husband Monday afternoon over to the nursery to get the tree, and then she got in her car Monday afternoon to go meet him. And in getting in the car to meet him, she pulled out of a side road on 520 in Cocoa and was hit by another car and was killed almost instantly. I don't understand that kind of thing. We had the memorial service here Friday afternoon. The platform was packed with flowers. Auditorium was filled. 85% of the people I didn't know. They came from this community, from all over the county. And the education people, school people, business people, friends of Joe's, and many others who were here. And it was a marvelous kind of memorial service that we had. Wonderful time that we had together. Her family conducted the service. Her children, all of whom are Christians and outstanding. And her neighbors, they came and they conducted the service. And I just stood at the last and had a brief word to say and a benediction. But I said, "I don't understand. I don't understand why I'm here and Jan's not. There are great mysteries in life that I simply do not understand." I told the Scowrons, I said, "I'm just a step and a half in front of you. I have looked at death this summer in a way that I've never looked at death before. I've always looked at death obliquely. This summer I looked at it straight in the face. And I've never done that before. Death always belonged to somebody else. This summer it belonged to me as I looked at it. And it still belongs to me because I realize that God says until you look at it square in the face, you really cannot understand what life is about. That it is, as James says, a mist. And you are here today and then you are gone in an instant. And no one understands that but God, who holds all of that in His hand. All we can do is to be ready. And most of us are not. I was not. I'm not sure I am, but I'm a lot more ready than I was back on the 29th of June when a doctor told me I better get ready. Yesterday afternoon, my daughter called me, Robin, and said, "Dad, Karen Cannon just died." Karen and Dale live right across the street from us, over on Masters Road in the community across there. They've been part of this body. I have two children who are part of the children's ministry here. Allison is part of the dance ministry, the ballet ministry. Derek, their 9-year-old boy, is part of the mime troupe. They had both been involved in the children's ministry this week. Michael had taken them over to Orlando, where they ministered over there. Derek's a brilliant little fella. He's the only mimer that wears big glasses. Karen was taking Allison up to Coco for dance lesson yesterday morning, and she had an asthma attack out on I-95. Pulled off the side of the road, couldn't breathe. Allison was there with her in the car. Allison finally got out, and here's a 13-year-old girl out on I-95 waving down traffic to try to get people to stop. Finally, somebody stopped. Had a CB radio. Second car to pull up was Thad Altman. Thad's a member of this church, county commissioner here. Had a telephone in his car. They called for the ambulance. Then another car stopped, and it was a diver, and he had an oxygen tank in his car. But they couldn't do anything. It was too late. So Karen died up there alongside the road, with her 13-year-old daughter there with her. I went over yesterday afternoon and talked to the family for a few minutes, talked to Allison. I don't understand that. We need to understand that there are certain things we don't understand. And to ask the question why on these things is the wrong question. There are certain things that God specifically and deliberately hides from us. And the secrets of beginning and the secrets of ending are part of that. And so the question why is not the legitimate question. The only thing that we can say is not why, but who. Who is in charge? Who rules? Who is in control? Is this simply a capricious world, as my doctors were telling me, some of them? Praise God for those who move beyond that. But some of those doctors were saying that it's just by chance. Cancer strikes some, it does not strike others. Christians die as much as non-Christians. Christians die on the road. Christians are killed in car accidents. And I know that. And yet at the other side, I also know that God has a victory beyond that, and I'm not just talking about the victory of eternal life. Praise God for that. What if we didn't have that? What if you come face to face with death and think that it's annihilation or hell? It is not that for us. It is eternity. It is heaven. It is a place with Jesus. It's what all of life is about. It's the graduation from this tiny little kindergarten that we're going through here on earth to the marvelous things that God has prepared for us there in that dimension. And it's to be welcomed and it's to be celebrated when it happens. But see, God has more for us than that. Jesus said, I came not just to give you a life, I came to give you life abundant. Well, how do we walk through abundant life in the time that we have, realizing that God allots the time? How then do we walk abundantly here, not fearing what comes, but walking without fear, and walking victoriously, and walking with hope, not holding on to this life, but holding on to God? How silly it is to hold on to life. How silly it is to try to hold on to that which is going to pass away anyway. It's like trying to grab hold of the fog early in the morning. and put it in a mayonnaise jar because you think it's pretty and look at it during the day. You cannot do it. And you can't do it with life either. That belongs to God. What God expects of us here is to walk with Him abundantly and joyfully and with faith and with hope and in His presence and with obedience. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. You'll find it a lot easier if you start at Revelation and work backwards, by the way. If you're starting at Genesis, you're going to be here until after the second service is over. Start at Revelation and work backwards, and you're going to run into Jude and 2nd and 3rd and 2nd and 1st John, and then you run into Peter, okay? It's right back in there, okay. 1 Peter 1:22. Well, I'll go to 21. We'll have to start there. Through Him, you believe in God. Through Jesus, you believe in God. Who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him so that your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are not in man or man's ways. They're not in science. They are not in medicine. Your faith and hope are in God. When I was going through, prior to my surgery for cancer, and I had switched doctors here because I was determined that whatever battle I was going to fight, I needed to fight with a Christian doctor with me. And I was not going to fight with a non-Christian doctor. And the doctor that I had gone to earlier, I specifically asked him if he were a Christian, and he said no. And I shared my testimony with him, and then I said, I've got to stand hand in hand with somebody who at least believes in God. Because the fight was too big for me. And so Dave Weldon, who is a neighbor of mine, an internal medicine doctor, who's a spirit-filled internist, and is an elder down at Zion Fellowship, I submitted myself to him medically. And after I made the decision for surgery, I called Dave and told him that we were heading back out to Texas to the MD Anderson Clinic in Texas, and I was going to go into surgery, even though the earlier diagnosis here had been that the kidney was non-operative, that they could not take it out. But we had felt, and those of you who have been here this summer know that story, and so I'll not go back over it. But I called Dr. Weldon and told him that we were leaving in 3 days to go back out to Texas. To have surgery out there. And he said, I want to call your surgeon in Texas. He said, I want to make sure that they're not just going to cut on you, that they're not just experimenting with you. He said, remember, that's a teaching hospital, and sometimes at teaching hospitals they do funny things. And I said, fine, you go ahead and do that. And so he called, and he said, I'm going to call on your behalf. And he did. He said, I want to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And then he called me back late that evening, and he said, well, I've talked to Dr. Swanson out in Houston. And he said, he's excited about this. He says that there's a possibility that he can get all the cancer with the surgery. And you might not have to go into treatment as you were thinking that you would have to. And he said, that's wonderful news. He said, I praise God with you for that. And I said, boy, that is wonderful news. That was the first sign of medical hope that I had had in the midst of all of that horrible bad news that we were having. And I hung up the phone, and I turned to Jackie, and I told her what the doctor had said. And then I said to her, I'm going to forget what he just said. Because if I take hope in that, I am taking hope in the wrong thing. If I place my faith in what he just said, I have placed my faith in the wrong thing. I have no choice but to continue on as we have walked through utter darkness with only one thing to hold on to, and that is to hold on to God. And we will continue to do that. So I'm putting this out of my mind, and I so put it out of my mind that I totally forgot it. Until after the doctor had finished his surgery and came in and he said, we have got it all. And then it came back to mind that earlier there had said that there was a possibility of that. But I knew that I should not put my faith in those things. Your faith and your hope are in God, Peter says. Now, verse 22, that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. It is the Word of God that has brought you to where you are. Peter calls it living and enduring Word of God. And then he quotes from Isaiah 40, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. My friends die. My children die. My parents die. I die. But the word of the Lord stands forever. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That is our life. Our life is in this word. One afternoon this week, I had spent a good portion of the afternoon working on some articles and materials that I write for Wycliffe Bible Translators. I work with my friend Bernie May, who is the director of Wycliffe, and usually I go to California and we sit down together for 3 or 4 days at a time, and I will take his ideas and put them on paper, and the two of us work together, and it's been a beautiful kind of chemistry that God has formed between us as I have done this writing for Wycliffe, and this is one of the joys of my life to be able to do it. And one of the things that this church has made possible, because you loan me out for that kind of thing. And as a result of that, and Bernie has said over and over and over again how much Wycliffe Bible Translators has prospered because of his ability to communicate, which I have made possible through him. And so it's been a delightful thing, but I've not been able to go out this summer, and so we have done a lot of work on the telephone. And so we've spent a great deal of time, and we would talk on the phone, and then I would take what he has given me, and I will work it into my word processor, and then I will send it back to him via the fax machine, and we will do the editing on long-distance lines. And it's been an interesting procedure as we have done it 2,500 miles apart. But I had worked on this stuff, I guess it was Tuesday afternoon, perhaps, or Wednesday, I guess Wednesday afternoon. And worked up, and then I was weary. I had sat too long. My tummy doesn't allow me right now. The muscles in my stomach are still extremely weak, and if I sit for long periods of time, I begin to cramp, and my back begins to hurt. And so I needed to get up, and so I went upstairs and lay down for a few minutes just to allow myself to relax after having done this. And the moment I lay down on the bed, I began to pray, which has become a procedure for me that every time I go down, my hands are supposed to go up. And so I just lay on the bed and raised my hands and was lying there on the bed praying. And I was aware of what I'd been doing. And I was praying for the material I just worked on, that it would be pleasing to God and would go out and do the things that God wanted it to, and that the people who read it, because it goes out to hundreds of thousands of people, would be blessed by it and would have the same vision that we were talking about. And then I began to realize, I don't have that vision. I've been doing this because of my joy of working with a man who I greatly admire, who's one of the great missionary statesmen of the generation. And yet at the same time, I don't have that vision. And then I began to think about, what about the people who don't have the Word of God? Suddenly I began to weep, just lying there in bed, just crying. Here it is, late afternoon, and I'm lying there and tears coming. And I'm weeping, and what am I weeping for? And I realized I was weeping for the people who don't have the Word of God. Because I was giving thanks that I have it. And it was my salvation. It was my deliverance through this summer. If I had not had this Word, what if I had not known greater is He who is within you than he who is in the world? What if I had not known by His stripes I am healed? What if I had not known the power of the Word of God, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be, and it's used three times, saved, delivered, and healed? What if I had not known that? I would have had nothing to go on except the word of science and the word of the medical profession, and they had already given me a death sentence. What if I had not known that there was on the other side a God who was saying, life, not death? And the only way I knew it was because of this Word of God, and I had that. And I began to weep for those who didn't have it. And realized that I had never really wept for a Bible-less world. For people who don't have the Word of God, who are lost and in darkness, and when sentence is pronounced upon them, have no alternative except to take that which the world gives, and are kicked around by the devil, who is a liar and a thief and a murderer and a twister of lies. But I had this word, and therefore it's mandatory on me to make sure that others have it also. And as I was lying there going through all of this, my wife came up, and we were supposed to go out to a birthday party for the children. And she came up and she said, are you okay? And I said, she said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. I'm just lying here on the bed crying, you know. And then I told her what was going on in my life. And I said, what about all those people? I said, we've been saved this summer through the Word of God, through the power of this Word. This Word has brought life into our lives. And we are here today because of this Word. And by Word, I'm equating that with what John did in the very first verse of the Gospel of John, where he equated it with Jesus, who was the Word, the Logos. And I said, we're here today because of that. And I said, I'm weeping for those that don't have it. She said, and I said, they just die. They just die. When they get the sentence, they just die. And she said, not only do they die, but they go to hell. Not only do we have this word to bring us health and life here abundantly, but we also have it for eternity. It is that kind of balance that we have it for both. How grateful I am that Friday afternoon, when I stood here with Joe Scarron and his wonderful family sitting here in front of us, to know that they knew this word, and that they knew that their mom and their wife was with Jesus, and to listen as that family stood and proudly proclaimed the Word of God. And then yesterday to walk into Dale Cannon's house, where just hours before Karen had been there. Here she is in her, early 40s, I guess, late 30s, early 40s. And suddenly she's not there anymore. And here's two little kids without a mom. They're facing all kinds of things. They've been homeschooled all their life. Not only did they lose their mom, but they lost their teacher. And to hear Dale say, I've told the kids, it's only a temporary separation. He says they understand that. Where did he get that from? Here. implanted in your heart. All I'm going to leave with you this morning is that you must take it. I cannot give it to you. You must take it. You must study it. You must make it part of your life so that when the dark day comes, you will not be afraid because light burns within you from this word. Let's stand together. I am grateful that you have not left us untended, but we have the solid presence of your word and we have the glory of your Holy Spirit who is here to interpret that word to us. Father, I pray that you will so affect your people that they will become one with your word, that we shall not be satisfied until we have not just read it, but we have digested it and it has become part of the cellular structure of our bodies. And so that when we open our mouths, we speak the word of God because there is no other word coming out of us. And when we face life, we face it with the word of God on our lips, with our hands full of the shield of faith on the left and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God on the right, knowing that we are overcomers and victors because of what Jesus has done at Calvary. In his name, we give thanks and praise to you this morning. Amen.